Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today, our guest is Dr. Eric Warren. He is an associate professor and the director of the National Hybrid Schools Project at Kennesaw State University. He's based on his research, Dr. Warren helps families and parish communities overcome the issues that our modern education system presents. You could go to his website, colescollege.com/hybrid. And we certainly enjoyed having Eric on our show yesterday. It was really informative, enlightening, but I am an Easter people, and Hallelujah is my song, and I'm like, revival, this is exciting, this is good, this is right. It's good and true and beautiful. And the people of God are rising up and saying, more must be done, because we are not gonna settle for what's coming down the pike as if we all have to go along to get along. No way.
We're talking about education, choices in education, not believing we're under the grip of one form of education from one source with all the good things, good teachers, some very good public schools, just sticking to the main things they need to be teaching. But we don't want to simply say you have to have a government. I don't like saying public school anymore. It's like a government education and to fit into this box in terms of what they're teaching. So it's very American that we should have more choices, that we can create those choices, and that's what the hybrid school is about, some homeschooling, some teaching from brick-and-mortar schools, Catholic schools, Protestant schools, other institutions, and to do the best that you can for your child, because you are the first educator of your children. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we have Dr. Eric Warren. He is an associate professor and the director of the National Hybrid Schools Project at Kennesaw State University. Based on his research, Dr. Warren helps families and parish communities overcome the issues that our modern education system presents. You could go to the website, colescollege.com/hybrid. colescollege.com/hybrid. I was running too fast with my words. Well, we want you first to tell our family quickly a summary of what we discussed yesterday, because I'm sure they're thinking hybrid cars now, hybrid schools, what is this? Tell our family what you're telling us.
Yeah, so hybrid schools are basically a hybrid of conventional schooling and homeschooling. Right, so they go by a lot of names that people might have heard: hybrid schools, hybrid homeschools, collaborative schools, collegiate schools, university model schools. But the basic idea is that the kids go to a building with teachers and often desks and uniforms and classmates, usually 2 or 3 days per week, and then they're homeschooled in some way on the other days. And that can vary between, you know, maybe they have 1 day of school, maybe they have 4 half days, but typically it's 2 or 3. And then also the school determines most of the curriculum, right? So these are sort of maybe more formal versions of something like a homeschool co-op where you just come in and take a class or two.
So obviously the brick and mortar place that you choose to be associated with is a big thing, because they're the ones basically with the curriculum there. You might have some input, but they're doing that. So you want to say, I like this excellence regarding the academics and anything else that they're doing. Maybe some of these even have a kind of a Christian or Catholic anthropology, you know, that they're teaching. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Because that would be great.
Well, I would say most of them do.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
Because look at what we're getting in terms of, you know, gender ideology and confusion on sexuality and whatever. I mean, just good, sound scientific and Christian anthropology would be wonderful.
Yeah, sure. So maybe prior to COVID, most of these schools were sort of private Christian or Catholic, you know, one flavor of Christian school. Post-COVID, the pie's gotten bigger. So we've got more secular schools, but we've also got tons of new Catholic school startups and other kinds of Christian school startups in this area.
Mm. What would you say to Catholic schools and to churches about getting involved with this? Again, I don't know, are they really active with it or not, or what, compared to the Protestant church? And it does seem to me that the Protestant church has been onto this for quite some time. But this seems like it's a perfect fit with the Catholic church.
It seems like it. So far, it's more, to the extent churches are involved, it's more a phenomenon of sort of big mega churches that open up their space for schools. There are some Catholic dioceses that have started them. I think the Diocese of Tulsa had a high school that they were starting up that was on a hybrid model. But the Catholic versions tend to be lay groups that come together and just start up their own independent schools.
Mm-hmm. What a great work, not only of education, but of evangelization opportunity. Mm-hmm. You're not going to coerce anybody. But we've seen so many people in the earlier years come into the faith through education. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been domineering or whatever, but it's just kind of winsome. People kind of catch the Lord and being part of a community and faith and reason together. And it's winsome to people.
Yeah, and you've seen, you know, since the, probably starting in the 60s, you see a Catholic school enrollment suffering. Mm-hmm. You also see middle class enrollment suffering in private schools of all kinds. But these hybrid schools are kind of ways to address both of those things. Right, we're bringing in people into Catholic schools who wouldn't otherwise come because they're so part-time in terms of facilities, in terms of teachers. Their tuitions can be lower than other private schools. So you're bringing in people to Catholic schools who might not otherwise get to go, or especially families that have multiple kids. So they're having to pay multiple tuitions.
Yeah.
And just the middle class in general, this is a way in to schools of choice for them if they don't make enough money to pay tuition or to qualify for some of these state school choice programs.
So I think the big eye opener was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
What parents and grandparents, because grandparents were home while the children were, you know, out, you know, working, they actually saw and heard what was happening and not happening in the government public school education, right? It was coming down. People were like, what? It was like poison was coming into some homes. And people were like, this is awful what's happening. And you saw people show up who maybe paid no attention to what the school boards were doing, paid no attention to what PTAs were doing, paid no attention to the education system nationally. We just kind of, we stuck our head in the sand and thought, it's got to be good. And then we saw. And so there you've had this genesis, this beautiful birthing, although it's been around for 30 years, you said, but people were like, this something else has to give because this cannot be it. So what do you say to the people who go, this is just a fad, this is just a passing thing, this isn't going to last?
Yeah. Well, like you said, a lot of these schools have been around for some time, so we've got a proof of concept that people are interested in, they work. But yeah, during COVID, especially the time when everyone was at home, there were two main things that people saw that they didn't like, and that was what was going on in the classroom and then what was not going on in the classroom were the two things that they hated, right? So they didn't like all the things that you mentioned, a lot of people didn't, and they didn't like the fact that the schools were closed at all for so long in a lot of different parts of the country. So people decided, you know, we can stand these things up on our own. Maybe we can do this ourselves, right? Maybe we don't need to wait for the perfect answer to come around. So we can just start up these schools and with a curriculum that we like better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case for not only for, you know, people who want more faithful Catholic schools, but there are very secular parents out there who said, you know what, I'm not being served well either.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of other kinds of schools of this nature starting up too.
Well, I think that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels very American in the best sense of that word. What do I mean? Competition, you know, go at it together, provide the best, you know, product that you can regarding education. Or if there's some things you don't like here or there, you have the choice, even though I wouldn't agree with you to do this, but you have the choice to do that. And so it's very encouraging to me as a sign of awakening in our country and getting back to our roots, because I think we're really moving away from our roots. And what do I mean? This nation has become so top heavy, governmental heavy, and intolerant about what's going to be done. And it's feeling like another kind of nation. But this is very constitutional, freedom of assembly, association, freedom of associations. You mentioned this in some of your notes regarding Tocqueville.
Yeah.
And his view of kind of society. Would you share a little bit about
that? Yeah, just having, you know, these small associations of people coming together and just solving local problems themselves, right? These are just very do-it-yourself projects, which, as you say, I think is a really American thing and a really healthy thing for our culture to have to have going on.
Yeah. And, well, I think of the word subsidiarity.
Yep.
That's a big word in the Catholic faith. Can you say what that is and how this fits into what's being done here?
Yeah, so basically you want to solve problems at the most local level possible, right? And I think we've especially the last few decades, we've started handing things off to higher and higher levels of government or whatever, when really we could solve a lot of problems ourselves just by coming together in small groups of people who have similar similar tastes, similar ideas.
Yeah. It's a very American way of thinking, and we need that.
We do. And since it's the Annunciation Week, there's a spiritual aspect to it, too, of just saying yes when you feel a little bit called to something.
Yeah. Right? Well, and because it's like, I want somebody else to do it.
Right.
And then God's saying, well, no, you.
I'm asking you to do it.
Right. No, Lord, not me. Get the next guy down the street. But it's like, no, it's your children. Because if you're going to make a difference and put your skin in the game, then it's other parents are going to join up too. I mean, you know, because when you see on the news all the parents that were going before the school boards, but you know what? They delegated. They gave them all that authority while they pretended they didn't want to know anything. And then when they really saw what was happening, they wanted to take back their power. Well, that's really difficult trying to take power away from somebody. And now I want to not only take power away from you, but I want to take money away from you. And now we have this freak out zone that's going on. But this is what has to happen. Parents have to rise up and say, no more. This isn't going to happen. You're not going to have my child. And in academia land, it's all based on average daily attendance, how many kids are getting in there, how much money we're going to get. Not even about the content of what I'm teaching you. And when you learn that as a parent, you're like, oh my gosh, they really don't care. Although we have educators, we have people in our family who that's been their career has been education. You don't get into that to make a lot of money. You get in there because you care. It's a vocation. But then they even got duped by the system. People who have been in for 40 years are like, if this is going down, this is when I get out. Because I can't sell my soul to the company store anymore.
Yeah, well, there's actually some really encouraging aspects to what you just said, right? Which are, first of all, you're not alone, right? The point of these schools is not to just run off on your own, but it's to bring people with you who are on your team, right? So you should have allies and friends when you're doing this, right? And the other thing is that's encouraging, I think, is that you don't have to pick a fight or take anything out. It's actually more aspirational and positive in that you can just come up with what you think is the greatest answer for your kid's school and then just go with your friends and start it.
Right.
You don't even have to worry about picking a fight or knocking something down. Just do your own thing. Build it yourself.
But the detriment to them is you're removing the product.
Yeah.
They want the product.
That's their problem, though.
They want to form. They want to control. They want the money. They want that person. It's like, no, you know what? We're taking our children and we're going elsewhere because you have that power.
And there's too many money. It's about money.
And power.
And it is about forming, educating the conscience of our kids. And we cannot consent that to them. We're the chief educators. We make the decisions. We can delegate, but we want to know who we're delegating to and how you choose to form our children. We have the say in that. So you know, when you come to this place, like you were saying, Joy, when people found out during COVID, you know, what exactly is going on, what they're doing I have a problem with, what they're not doing I have a problem with, and so I'm not going to do that anymore. They don't know where to go and what to do.
Yeah.
Right. And like you said, there may be some money available for disadvantaged, and then if you got money, you got money. You know, you can build your whole thing. But it's the middle class that's continually being barraged and squeezed out, and the working people, and they just end up poor enough to make something happen. They're not wealthy enough to make it happen. So the question for them is like, I'm outraged about this. I want to change formats. What the heck are the formats here? We don't have vouchers yet to do more, and that's not the total, you know, panacea answer, but formats. So, you know, you're the head of the National Hybrid Schools Project on the campus of Kennesaw. I wanted to say we have a grandchild that goes to Kennesaw.
We do, and he plays football. He's one of the, and we're very proud of him.
Just don't get that into Nathan.
Right? We like Kennesaw. Yeah.
If he ever takes one of your classes, you better be nice. But yeah, so are there other places like this? Is this unique to Kennesaw, the National Hybrid School Project? Because it does sound like something that's needed. It's not a fad, but it's still relatively new, you know, 30 years, 40 years, compared to public schools, government schools. So what are you doing there? And again, just tell us your best practices and so on, and everything that you're offering, so people don't feel like, I need a format, but I got to create it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so there's not much research out there, and we really were started as an academic research center to kind of look at these schools. Because even before COVID, there was an upswing because of things like just the general growth and popularity of homeschooling. A lot of these schools are just built on their state homeschool laws. And we have the homeschoolers to thank for kind of creating the the groundwork for all of this stuff to be possible. There's not much academic work being done on them because of just the nature of the schools are kind of small, they're independent, they like their independence. Other groups have done research during COVID on things like, would you like your kid to be homeschooled at least part of the week? So there's a group that called EdChoice that does that. And what they found was, actually, parents, when they had their kids home for COVID, they found out they kind of liked them, right? And they wanted to see them more, right? So then COVID happens, and these schools become really popular. And so at the National Hybrid Schools Project, we decided we need to kind of step it up a little bit. And so we started pulling together in a couple of ways. So we still do academic research. We've done survey work on just kind of the landscape of these schools, and we're getting into kind of outcomes, right? So how do these kids do in these schools? That's kind of our next stage work. We also do convenings, right? So we bring together schools at a conference in Atlanta every spring. It's happening in a week and a half from now. And people come from all over the country to talk about their schools. And what we found is there's a lot of demand for that because I think these people are founding these schools. They're so focused on the do-it-yourself stuff, just keeping the lights on, finding teachers. Probably they're homeschooling their own kids a couple of days a week. So they don't know, they're not aware when there's a school one state over that's doing the same thing they are. So they just want to come in and learn. The field is evolving so fast that other researchers and kind of policymaker types are interested. Because, I mean, everybody's learning. What are we looking at here? What is actually helpful to these schools?
It's a winning issue.
It is.
For politicians.
People want to know more, right? And so we do these convenings. We also do different kinds of outreach. So we do things like help point schools to others who can help them. So maybe 5 years ago even, these schools are so thin on the ground. They could do whatever they wanted. Nobody cares. You know, you look like a group of homeschoolers, so the local fire marshal doesn't really pay attention to you. But because there are now more noticed, we get situations where something like a fire marshal will say, well, you are meeting in a church, but you're not a church, so you need a new kind of certificate, or we're going to fine you. So we can help people find ways to deal with those sorts of things.
They fine them for like what? How much?
For, well, case it was $1,000 a day that they met, right? For a school that doesn't charge that much in tuition. So things like that. And then I hear it all the time from people from all over the country who say, you know, this is really interesting stuff. I've got a group of people here. We want to start a school, but we don't know what to do. So I kind of help them find schools like them or schools in their area that can be of service to them.
We're going to hold you over for the final segment. There's so much to share here. And I do want to hear again about this convening that's coming up soon. And I hope that many people will get involved with it. You be encouraged. God's doing a work in our land in this area of education. and you can be a part of it. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Continuing our good conversation, important conversation with Dr. Eric Wehrin from Kennesaw State, National Hybrid Schools Project. Just a broader question, the impact you think of hybrid schools on local communities, on states, the nation, the world, you know, where is its place in this and what's the leaven that it's putting out there?
Yeah, I just think this is a really positive development because people get very upset and dialed in on problems in education, but this is a way to solve problems, right? Yeah. You can do it anywhere in the country. They don't have to be big. The average school size is 200, but we've got schools that have, you know, less than 50 kids all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about all these states that are passing these tuition tax credits and savings account bills and other things. But you don't need that to get this thing going, right? Like we said, people have done it everywhere. So we host a big event that we'll talk about, but we've hosted smaller regional events too. Okay. We did one recently in California, which has no hope of passing a statewide school choice bill anytime soon. But there's all kinds of stuff going on because the people are taking it on themselves and just starting up what they can under the rules in California. There's a lot going on in Michigan, which is also not super fertile territory. I was in touch this week online with a woman from upstate New York, which is, you know, again, not passing a statewide universal education savings account anytime. But they're starting things, right? So no matter where you are, if you've got a group of people and a vision for what you want to do, you can do it. Homeschooling's legal everywhere, and that's kind of facilitates all of these things.
Yeah. So how are those happening locally in states? You might have a hybrid school that's saying we want to sponsor you all coming in or cast the vision that's taking place. They share it and they're finding interest.
Yeah. So they write up their curriculum or they just talk to their community and they come up with a shell of a school and they recruit people and it starts up just like anywhere else.
Yeah. That's great.
Perfect.
Tell us about the larger convening because it's coming up soon in Georgia.
So our national conference is April 19th and 20th in Atlanta. This will be our third annual conference and they get bigger every year. So we've got several hundred people coming just to talk about what's going on with hybrid schools. So we do a lot of practical discussion about, you know, running, starting, maintaining a hybrid school. We get policy discussions. I think some of the things I really like about our conference is it brings in people who are actually doing the work to talk about with each other about how they can do it better. But I think what they say actually does move upstream to the kind of the policymakers and the think tank types who are kind of influencing policy.
Yeah. And I would guess the best thing it does is because when you're home in your little state or your little region of your town and area, you're thinking, I'm the only person
That's
on the
right.
planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come together like, wait a minute, I am not alone.
I found my people, I have friends.
I know where I belong, you know, and I found my voice. And God is in this, and this is a good thing to change everything that needs to be changed in our country.
That's right. I've had that conversation so many times.
Yeah, no, it's just a total plug, and it's like, here you are, because I thought I'm the only mom who cares about this. Because, you know, you feel like that. And God says, no, I got a community for you, so show up.
Dr. Wehrin, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being a part of the EWTN family. We welcome you on in. Thank you for this very important work, prophetic work that you're doing. And really giving people hope at this time. It's very American in the best sense of that word. It's very Catholic in terms of the authority that's been given to parents and only parents to help determine the destiny of their children regarding education. Thank you for your part.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm sure we've had the website up the entire time. Please go to it so you can be a part of this big convening there in Georgia, or have them come to your local state community to share about hybrid schools. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.